Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
We're finally back.
I know, the second half. Welcome back, everybody. I'm excited. James, thanks for coming back.
Casey, thank you for coming back. This is amazing.
This is so nice. Oh man, can you believe it? Like, we got the second half of this season 8 going on.
Thank God we're back. It's been a miserable summer. It's too hot.
It's
and now I can
hot.
Just finally watch new Jokers episodes.
It's been too long, I think.
It has been too long. How long has it even been? I forgot what we even did before. I forgot everything.
I think Murr got punished.
Probably.
Sal refused something.
Yeah, definitely.
He laughed.
Yeah, Q's facial hair probably changed. Joe's hair. Didn't his hair change on the top of his head? I don't even remember.
That's true, yeah. So I bet you people were like, is Joe going to continue with the hair, brought down? Or is he going to go back to the famous spikes?
These are the storylines we need to remember as we come back.
It's all fabricated. We made it up. We tell him what to wear. We do everything.
And then helping us keep track of everything is Tina Santamoro.
Yay.
That's right. Tina, welcome back. This
Thanks.
Is so exciting.
Thank you.
We do not have Danny Green anymore. He's moving on. He's producing movies. He's doing all these big things. We miss him.
Taking that Vanilla Clown bindle, and he's on the boxcar, I think.
That's how he puts it.
Vanilla Clown will be back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually true. That's all I wanted to mention.
Yes.
I'm not only sad that Danny Green's not on the podcast, I'm more sad that Danny Green's dad, that Papa Green, but we'll have to call him at some point throughout this.
We'll have to do a check-in at some point.
Second half of the season. And Tina just reminded us something amazing. What's that thing about this second half of the season?
It is longer than the first half of the season.
Isn't that nice?
Wow. It's amazing.
That's so fun. We have more episodes.
Mm-hmm. Six more episodes.
Six more. It's not just like one or two more.
More than the first half.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
That's huge.
Absolutely amazing. And we've got other big news in this second half of the season, right?
Uh-huh.
200th episode.
That's huge. I remember the 100th episode. And that was such a big deal. And it was so, what a magic night. Like, actually, I was on Staten Island, and I ran into somebody that was like, oh, I was working security at the event for the 100th episode. Yeah. And he was like, that was a long time ago. And I was like, yeah, it was 100 episodes ago. almost 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, that's how I keep track of time, is Joker's episodes. And that's why I don't think I've aged at all since we've been off the air. I've kind of just been hibernating, and now I'm back out.
Ever so often, I get these feelings. I get these like moments where I'm like, wow, we've been going for 8 seasons and it's been like 8 years pretty much.
Yeah.
We started in, the pilot was like 2010. We started filming the show in 2011.
Yeah.
And these guys, up until like season 2, like, that's when we started getting more and more fans, or more people started watching the show. So I just want to take a moment and thank you for listening and for supporting the show and basically giving me a job by doing that.
The Jokers fans are the best fans. They are diehard fans.
Yeah.
Here's what I want. Cause like there's another group of diehard fans.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know this band really. Like Fish. They have like really diehard fans, and then they have a Ben and Jerry's flavor called Fish Food.
Yes,
we gotta get an Impractical Jokers flavor, Ben and Jerry's. Is that possible? Can we push for that?
I'll talk to BA when I get back to the office.
Amazing,
wow, very professional.
Oh wow!
Wait, what's
this
BA?
Tina, that's what
business
I'm
business affairs.
Oh, okay. I was like,
they make all those
deals.
Thank
you for asking, Casey.
Yeah,
okay, sorry. I got a BA from NYU.
I know. When you said BA, I was like, is that Baskin Rob? Are you going to talk? I was like, Baskin.
Big Baskin. Yeah. They run all the ice cream.
But it's funny. It's the thing is like getting your ice cream.
Yeah.
Like that's a milestone.
That would be great. What would it?
Because Fallon has one.
Oh,
it's like
really?
Called Late Night Snack, and it's chocolate covered potato chips in vanilla or in some kind of ice cream.
What do you think the Jokers would want theirs to be?
This is great. Actually, I want to hear from the fans. So you could do hashtag Jokers podcast and let us know what flavor of ice cream would be like the Jokers flavor. But we'll start you off with maybe some ideas now.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the guys.
And maybe this it's because episode, of this episode
a little bit later on. But it's like, it's first of all, one of my favorite things in ice cream. So I'm pushing for it.
Yeah.
And that's why. But it's like a really fun word to say.
Right.
It's a fun item. No one's ever mad when they see a marshmallow. That's why we threw it at people in the shopping carts.
I kind of think like a cannoli cream should be incorporated in it.
Shut the front door. That'd be amazing.
Right? Wouldn't that be incredible? Like, I don't know if marshmallow and cannoli is like too sweet, but then again, you know, the Jokers are too sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there needs to be more than one flavor. Maybe there needs to be four.
Wow.
Wow. Oh,
maybe for Murr, a braised beef ice cream.
Okay. There we go. A little salty and
totally,
sweet now.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
And then, what would Salvatore have? Or, I'm assuming now Q's the marshmallow of the group.
No, I think Sal's I mean, literally, he was in this episode, he gets called out as looking like a marshmallow. So I think
that's good.
He might have to take it.
Maybe a little spice for Q, the fireman.
Oh, wow. Like a little spicy.
Sriracha.
Yeah, so sriracha. That's ice cream.
Braised beef, sriracha, marshmallow, and cannoli cream. It's terrible.
I don't think any of these are going to sell.
Yeah. Let us know you're four. Please.
take that to BA.
Yeah, tweet it
Do
us.
Do better than us.
Exactly. All right. I'm excited to jump into this episode because we're coming back with a vengeance. Like, this episode is very fun. There's a few things that happened in this episode that are like kind of my favorite moments of all time. We're going to jump into it right now. This first one that, like, you're making a doc.
Yes.
You need to get some opinions.
Bring them in the back.
Yeah.
Talk to someone. And then it's another don't laugh challenge. So it's
which is great. Like, this could just be a refuse you lose, right?
100% could be. And I think the guys maybe even thought about it as a refuse you lose one time.
I think on set, I almost remember, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think on set they were like, Sal was like, to really make this, to really get into it, to make it like tense. What if we up the ante by doing it like as a don't laugh, don't break kind of thing. And they were like, we could count the number.
You're right. And then the other thing that's actually great, Case, if you watch, and I hope you did watch Joker's after party after this, there's actually a clip of what it's like to be on the floor when you're the Joker or when you're the Mark. And so you can really understand why they want to do the don't laugh goal. It is a very awkward, quiet set. When you're not hearing the guys in your ear and you're not hearing the guys laughing, it's just super awkward. So it's like really, it's like church laughs. Like you're trying not to laugh in church or you're trying not to laugh in like class.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So that's where that don't laugh goal really comes from. It's like, that it's just a super awkward setting.
Right.
I think it shows you like how hard it is to do, because I think it looks like easier when you hear the guys and see the guys laughing in BTS and stuff like that. But not hearing them is like, it makes it more awkward.
I completely agree. Like, I'm so glad that they did that, because I think especially now after 8 seasons, people are like, well, is it tense? And it is. It's still like when you're there with real people saying insane stuff, especially about like relationships or whatever it is, like it gets tense.
It gets so
even
tense.
When they laugh, I almost want to see a challenge where some of the marks will laugh. And then sometimes it gets to a point where they're like, I'm a little nervous. Like you could tell like the person
100%
they're working with.
Yes. I feel like that happened in Gatto's turn. At some point, his mark looked checked out and was like, I want to leave this room alive.
Yeah.
This guy is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, let's just keep rolling through. Like, she at some point becomes like catatonic and not even reacting to all the crazy things Joe's saying when he's talking about soprasada at his mom's funeral.
Yes.
And prosciutto at his dad's.
This is a great soprasada at my mom's funeral. Top notch there. My dad's had a hell of a prosciutto.
Dark from Joey Gatto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that they're even trying to say that word right, like, you know, soprasada.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like, soprasada is like the way it's spelt.
Right.
Which is like an Italian thing. But really, the way that they say it, and a lot of like Staten Islanders say, is soprasad. They'll be like, let me get soprasad. It's spelled soprasada.
Again,
it's so funny.
That's the way I think everyone that doesn't live in Italy that goes to an Italian deli says it, for sure.
I'll take the gabagol.
Yeah.
and that's capicola, but in Staten Island, it becomes gabagol.
Yeah, it's a whole mess, the way things are spelled. I went to dinner with my fiance. I've been engaged.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Since we've lasted
episodes.
Congratulations. Wow. Thank you.
Sorry, ladies, off the market.
Yeah, but we went and she wanted to order something, and it's Brajol, But Brajol is not spelled anything like it sounds.
Yeah.
It's like B-R-A-C-I-O-L-E.
See, I hear that as Brajol.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
That's, you've got the Joker Italian Staten Island pronunciation, so you understand.
You know, it's amazing that, like, I grew up in Staten Island, I know all these Italian things, but I did not know on the brach, and that, like, changed my mind, like, changed my life. Like, Joe saying on the brach was a phrase I never heard before, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe there's more out there that I don't know.
What is on the brach?
On the brach is like when it's like on the house, like it's free. So like we were in, I think, Urban Market, which is in actually in Williamsburg. And there was a little kid and he was pretending to be an employee. It wasn't even part of the bit. Like he was doing a food survey and he like gave a kid like a melon and was just like, tell your mother it's on the brach. It's on the brach. Make sure to tell her it's on the brach.
Yeah. It's great. And then, but the thing about the guys is also like, I think that is a real like Italian American like slang term, but they'll also make stuff up like one throat, a chicken finger.
Yeah.
That's not real, but the guys just say it. And yeah. Now all of a sudden it's real. And I've like heard it around like.
Oh, yeah. They're like shorthand for things. Like we'll do a flipski. Like yeah. We'll just mean like we'll do the opposite.
Yeah. There's a whole Joker slang.
All right. But this was, yeah, I want to jump back into this challenge.
Please.
Because there's so much fun stuff that happened here. I think in during Murr's turn, mm-hmm. that old, the granny to granddaughter back to the granny is like such a, like a, what a ride, what a roller coaster of emotion I had even just watching that.
Yes, the hot granddaughter if the grandmother's single.
It was incredible. There was so, it was one of those that could have went on forever. It's almost like what they did in Sal's turn.
Yeah.
Once then Sal was up and it was like, what was it? Like, do you have any secret cooking tips? It's like, no.
No, there was, that was Joe's
Joe,
turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was Joe?
Yeah, well, I think Sal was feeding it to Joe.
Yeah.
And he's just like, wait, wait,
right.
No, wait. You know, like it was Sal feeding it to Joe. That's amazing.
Right.
It's also funny because Joe probably would be the only one who could answer that question. Like he's kind of the only one who like has some cooking knowledge.
Yes, of course. That's why you can take Murray's stove if you wanted to, and he would not care.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, if you take a seamless account, then he'd get upset.
Yeah,
he'd
would starve to death. Yeah.
But yeah, that's amazing. Like, know what's amazing about this, about Joe's turn, is that he riffs, like, on the, it's like they'll give him an idea, and he'll riff and almost make himself laugh. Like, his laugh came from him just, like, exploring the idea that they started. And he's just... He can't help it. Like, he loves to play with these ideas and he cracks himself up.
100%. He always wants to take what the guys are giving him, complete that task,
mm-hmm.
and then add on to it to show them he can do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't even mean to make himself laugh. He's trying to just make them laugh in the back.
Right.
And us, like, you know, are the viewing audience.
Definitely.
And
is that what happened when he, because then he stole the girl sitting next to him, like her secret, like cooking tip. So is that what happened there? Because the guys didn't tell him to do that, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, Joe Gatto is rogue. And mm-hmm. in any situation, he's going rogue. Like he's the first to break the law in terms of how these challenges work.
100%.
But he wins. But he, like, you know, I think he has had the least laugh.
He does. Yeah, he has the least thumbs down mm-hmm. season wide so far. So yeah, he's the king. He gets punished the least. He's winning in Practical Jokers. He should get something for
winning.
That.
Yeah, you're right.
We should figure out who's like the all time loser.
Oh,
or the ranking.
I think we know. I think it's pretty much Sal. I think you think Murr's had more punishment?
It's definitely one of those two. Q's actually most thumbs down.
Do you guys want to place a bet right now?
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to go with
Sal. You look hesitant.
I think Sal has had the most punishments, but I could be wrong. Literally, ooh. There's probably people, our fans are so good, they're listening, being like, you idiot, it's Murr.
I'll say Murr.
You're going to go Murr.
Right. I'll say Murr.
Okay, what's the bet, though?
You have to eat, the loser has to eat the ice cream we just made up.
Okay, fair.
Great.
I mean,
oh wait, I'm a vegetarian.
So I know. So that's going to be real hard
for
you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do some beyond.
We'll
do some beyond braised beef.
I'm off sugar, but you know, I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's fair. Go against your beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The show is ruining us.
But back to this, and I think you would feel this way if you had to eat meat.
Yeah.
Sal looked broken at the part where, like, he was just, like, laughing so much. Q was relentless on him
Yeah.
during that turn. like with all the stuff with like the server and like the street urchin.
A great server for me, a great server would like shoo away street urchin while I'm trying to eat like my caviar or whatever like that, because too many waiters care about them little shits, you know.
And like, that was great.
It was such a long line. Sal also has a great memory. Like he remembered that whole line.
Yeah,
after just hearing it like once.
Great memory. Really good actor. I think he's like really funny when he delivers the line, but man, he can't stop laughing. Like,
I know.
It's so hard. The face that he's giving, where he's like trying not to laugh and he's just like staring out into space, is
he looks
so
broken.
Funny.
He looked like they broke Sal.
Yeah.
Like he looked like it was like a broken, looking at a broken watch.
Yeah. It's just like,
he's like not moving. Just like,
yeah,
kind of looks like a watch. Kind of looks like Sal.
No, he looked like you could have put him in like a straitjacket and he could have just been like Anthony Quinn in Psycho. Is it Anthony Quinn? I don't know who's in Psycho.
I think Brian Quinn is.
It's Brian Quinn in Psycho.
Of.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I think we should do more challenges like this. I also love the way, a little behind the scenes of how we get. We use the term mark as shorthand just because it's an easy way to say like the stranger interacting in the bit. But the way we get the mark is like, you know, either people are there at that bar and then they don't even know that we're doing this documentary, or we might even be like, hey, you know, if you would like to be, we'd like to get your opinion on a documentary,
right?
Come to this bar. And then we'll have like one of the Jokers, not the one that would be in the bit, kind of hang out in the area, and we could tell if they know the Joker. We call it the sniff test.
That's right.
We've talked about it in the past. And so if the person seems like, oh, are you the guy from the show? We will not have them in the bit. And then, you know, with this, in this case, all four of these people did not recognize that one Joker. And then they're pulled over into the thing where the Joker is either already there or gets pulled from another section. They
right.
sit down and then the magic happens.
Exactly. Yeah, that is, that's like every shoot, we do it all the time. And we do call it the sniff test.
Which is totally disgusting.
But, I've never really thought about what.
Yeah.
I guess
it's to sniff out who knows the show.
Because right.
It gets, it, right. you know, a lot, we get that question still all the time. Like, how is it? How do we still, you know, film the show? But it's, you know, it's cable TV. We live in New York. A lot of New Yorkers do not have television.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like James, do you have cable right now?
No, I watch all these episodes on my computer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it's insane how, like, you know, like a lot of New Yorkers just don't, like, you know, they read books and stuff. They're
yeah.
All,
no, yeah. I get these things emailed to me from like internal mm-hmm. docs and then watch it. But yeah, adding on to that case, I want to throw this out at you, see if you agree with me. In real life, when like mm-hmm. we'll hang out with the guys, I feel like Murr almost does a sniff test on his own of any place we go to. Like he will go out into like, if we're in a bar or a restaurant, and he'll kind of like walk out and like stand, hands on his hips, chest out.
Yes.
And kind of look around for a second.
Yeah.
And see if he's getting any looks. And then he will go and retire to his seat.
We call that blowing up the room.
We call that blowing up the
room. Like sometimes he does it in a way that like we're about to start and all of a sudden Murr's out there and like, you know, a few people recognize him and we're like, he's blowing up the room. It's good in a way, but it's also like sometimes people don't recognize them until they see all four of them.
Yeah.
But if he goes out there and then one person's like, that's the guy from, other people will catch on. And then we're like, all right, we have to wait until the whole room turns over or something
yeah.
like that. But we still love Murr. And, you know, the reason why Murr does that, he can't say no to a fan.
He can't. Like and it's the best. He's always like out there signing autographs. Like,
in fact, before we jump into the Marshmallow Madness, Tina, you went to Comic-Con.
Yes.
How fun was that?
I was just going to bring that up when you were talking about Murr and not saying no to a fan.
Right,
because,
exactly.
All four of the guys at Comic-Con were amazing with their fans. Comic-Con was amazing yep. in and of itself.
And they took over once again, they took over
Padres
Petco Park.
Petco
Park, yeah. And they had an all-day event with a stage show. We did a live and practically speaking episode. But in between all the stuff that was going on stage, they were running around and taking pictures with their fans, signing autographs. Just there was so much interaction. And a couple got engaged using Joe's wedding ring.
What?
The guy didn't bring an engagement ring with him to Comic-Con. So
wow.
to get the job done, Joe lent him his wedding ring.
He didn't give it to him.
No. The girl gave it back
it
after
fit.
She
maybe
accepted
fit her
it.
Thumb. Maybe, yeah. fit, her, maybe yeah. fit her wrist.
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That happened.
That's great, huh? That is so nice. I really had FOMO. I was in Italy, like on the Amalfi Coast with my wife, having the time of my life. But part of me was like, oh, I wish I was
at Comic-Con. I know. I was officiating a wedding in Brooklyn at that time. First time I was a minister at my buddy's wedding. Got that thing online in about 10 seconds and then ran into the wedding.
You could have done the same thing at Comic-Con.
I know. We could have had a whole wedding over there. Wow. Sal could have been best man, gave his speech.
No, it just got posted today. And I think a lot of Joker's fans are like tagging me in it. BuzzFeed had this like hot dog themed wedding. And they asked me to officiate because they knew that I could do that. And it was insane. And a bunch of Joker's fans have like stumbled upon it. And they're all like tagging me in it. Be like, it was just like a post. But that's so funny.
That's great. Yeah, but same thing as you guys. I wish that I was at Comic-Con because, and again, for the fans, the two places I think are the best times to meet the guys, Dead Heat for me, the Joker's Cruise, and Comic-Con. Yes. I think those are two events, like, again, just from hanging out with the guys every like week, they love those events. They can't wait for them.
Yeah.
And they're like, kind of really themselves. They're like, they're really in their element. And
it's different
best.
Than the live show. Cause the live show is a great like entertainment thing, but like they're on stage for like an hour straight performing and then they're off stage. And so it's really hard. Like, I think they've cut down on their meet and greets and stuff too, because it's just, it's a lot, but these days aren't even like these, like the, you know, the Comic-Con thing and the cruise, like you said, they're out all day, like on the boat, walking around.
They're not going anywhere for a while. They're hanging out.
How many people did you say came through?
Over 12,000.
That's amazing.
That was the final number for marketing. So it was over 12,000.
And speaking of which, a big announcement at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
Season 9.
Yay.
We're back.
I know.
So we're back and then we're double back next season. Right. Running it back.
I mean, I can't thank these fans enough, because without them, we wouldn't have jobs.
Yeah.
True.
By the way, at Comic-Con, I got to experience how amazing their fans are, which it was like boy band level of fame.
And literally,
like,
Joey Fatone was there.
And Joey Fatone was there,
Maybe the fifth most popular of the five.
He's the greatest.
Yeah. Speaking of, they did, the DJ played Bye 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 by NSYNC. And
he performs it.
Joey sang it with the guys on backup. It was pretty amazing.
Did he do the choreography?
A little bit.
A little bit?
It was really hot out.
Oh, gotcha.
So I think it would have been, I don't know.
He pulls it out.
I feel like the Jokers all know the choreography of it at this point, and they just do it in the background. They are now in sync, basically.
Yeah.
The Jokers perform with Joey.
Yeah. So I'm very excited for this next one, and I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Oh.
So Marshmallow Madness.
That's right.
Is riveting. So I'm not really much of a sports person.
That's true.
This is what you sports people must feel all the time.
This is what sports is, baby.
But it's, I mean, I...
Competition.
The thing that makes...
Mano a mano, malo a malo.
Mellow a mellow?
Yeah, well...
How do you say marshmallow? Mallow?
It's marshmallow, but then people call them malos sometimes. It's like a slang.
Oh, it's like
really?
Another...
Yeah, so it's
sad,
like malo a malo. It's like a Central Jersey thing, I think. Didn't make it across the...
Not to be confused with mellow.
Carmelo Anthony.
Hello. Yeah. So I like that this is a sport that has real... people in the middle of it that don't even know it's a sport.
Yes.
That's what makes it Jokers.
100%. And originally, I think the guys were talking about being teammates with the guys in BTS. So one guy on the floor would have been paired with someone in BTS. And if you heard, like, they're kind of directing them. Like, all right, go left. And then, like, shoot from there.
Yeah.
And then they decided against that because they're like, whatever, we'll just...
Help them both. It's already hard
help
enough.
Them, but we also... I want to beat them. I want one winner.
You know what? Let's just do rapid fire, free for all. Oh, just please. Keep throwing. Just keep going.
And that's, again, where the guy's competitive spirit comes out. Whenever they play these games, kind of like the balloon game where you pin something on the marks.
Yeah.
Fly me the balloon, as we call
pencils.
It. Or the pencil game.
Put pop.
They want a winner. And so they wanted a winner here as well.
And I honestly think that the Jokers could have a second career as sports commentators.
Oh, 100%.
Who are your favorite?
Joe and Q.
I disagree. I'm going Q and Murr, because I think Murr is like kind of all business, and he's sort of like the stats guy.
Yes.
And Q's the color, and but they're both excited, but in different ways.
And Q was like an excited kid watching a basketball game.
Yes.
During this episode.
In the history of sports, I've never witnessed anything.
This is crazy.
anything.
Anything like this.
And yeah. He's not much of a big sports guy, but like this is his sport.
This is it.
In the same way it's like mine. I'm like, it's like so exciting.
Q will be on ESPN like 12 at some point, just announcing like the any Joker game when it becomes like an official like American pastime.
Yeah.
But because him and Joe did a great job at the beginning of the season when they were the commentators at the Monster Jam punishment. And they were doing the play-by-play. And like only like a quarter of what they said aired. But I was right next to the booth as they were doing it. And it was like very entertaining to watch. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah.
So that's why I voted for them. Sal, you have not been mentioned. So you are not the sports commentator.
He's good. But he treated it the way, and I like this, the way he treats like any challenge where like he has funny things to say about like how it's happening.
Right.
And like, you do want to see Sal like caught up in it, but Sal is like a fan of it. He's like watching it as like, oh my God, like he's like, like me watching it. Whereas like Murr is like literally doing the play by play.
Yes.
He's like saying what's happening in a way that like gets you excited.
Uh-huh.
Like almost like how like a boxing referee, like is talking mile a minute, explaining what's happening. And Q's just like dropping these like funny, like, exciting moment. I loved it. I was excited. I hope this comes back, or like if we have another version of it. And this is grocery games. You'd think we'd be done with them,
dude.
This was like a new twist on it because they couldn't see where they were throwing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was really exciting to watch. I know we all loved it when we were watching the rough cut at the office.
And like, you know, there's moments where Sal's out of marshmallows and he's got to run and get more. And that was the nail in his coffin.
It was really fun.
Is that a sports term?
Nail in the coffin. It's from NBA Jam, I believe.
I think that's
the
only one.
That's where most of your sports terms come from.
From downtown.
Yeah, that's
another
one.
You can't buy a bucket.
Yeah.
These are all
my shakalaka.
Yeah, boom shakalaka.
And I loved like the marks going to different aisles to check on them. Like, especially this one lady was upset. She was like, who's throwing marshmallows at me? Turns a corner, sees Joe Gatto, doesn't really catch him. And he's standing there and he's like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, my marshmallows. I'm throwing them up there.
Oh, it got in there. I won.
Yeah. And just talks to her and like turns that like frown upside down on this lady's face. Yes. And that's like, again, one of my favorite things about this show.
Yeah.
Is it's like this, again, just dumb and silly. That's why I'm pushing for marshmallow and our Ben and Jerry's flavor.
Yep. When it hit that woman's hat and went in the car, that's a great moment too.
Oh, that's a fantastic moment.
Like it's like, and you know, it was a good, I'll say that what was a really good Sal moment was when he was just like, it hit the rim. That felt like basketball. It was just like, you hit the rim. It's like a cart. It's not a rim, but like in that moment, it is. That's so great.
And the other thing when I was watching this that I think only makes sense to probably the people that do our job is I'm watching this and I'm like, I can't believe we have a job. Because I remember when this idea came up in the room with the Jokers, somebody said like, what if we did like Frogger in the supermarket? And it was just like, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And like, they had that like one camera that's like the Frogger camera that's like shooting from above. And like, if you listen to some of the sound effects, I think they're kind of Frogger inspired too. It's kind of like that jumping noise. Like,
it
like,
is. Quack, 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 quack,
like noise like in the back. And that's it. Like someone just throws out like Frogger in the supermarket. And then somebody else is like, yeah, okay. What if we had like marshmallows and we're throwing them over?
And good on the BTS, you know, the commentators for seeing exactly which ones went in, you know, because it's tough. Like there's a lot happening and you really need to be careful, like which one went in and did it fall out. And they were really good. And I want to give props to our camera people for having such tight coverage so that our editors can literally really show when it's going in. At no point did I feel like I didn't see one that they called.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really felt like I saw every one. That's a hard challenge to cut. Would you agree? Did you saw many iterations? Were there times where it was just like, this doesn't feel right?
No, not once. Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Our editors can do it all.
Amazing.
Because
editors.
They have to know hidden camera. They have to know comedy. But then once in a while you have to do something like this, which is like cutting a sports event.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
They did a great job.
That's crazy. That's really fun. We interrupt this podcast to bring you breaking news with Simi Can't Stand Your Bits. Simi, why can't we stand your bits?
I mean, that's really up to you guys, isn't it? It's hard for me to say.
Yeah, it is true.
But
it's true.
It's true. I think he can't stand our bits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Oh, sorry, Simi.
Right. It's right. It's less about my bits. It's more about your bits. I think that's the right way to put it.
Oh.
Okay, fair. That's fair. Okay. Anyway, we're talking about episode 8-10.
a little interview with a Joker, which we heard you were on set for, actually.
I was, yes. And not only was I on set, I was there with my wife and my three children, which has only happened one other time. So it was an exciting day for me.
Whoa, the whole Can't Stand Your Bits family.
All the Can't Stand Your Bitses were there. It was great.
And the three little bits.
Yeah, it was me, my wife, and our three little bits were there. And that was a great day. So that was the interview with the Joker segment, which came out really, really well. And that was an interesting day because, you know, when you take kids to a TV set, one of the best things about it are all the snacks, right? There's craft services everywhere. But unfortunately for us, the reason why my girls were able to go was because they were off for Passover break.
Oh.
And on Passover, we only eat, in our family, we only eat kosher Passover food. So my kids couldn't eat any of the snacks that were on set, which made it kind of a difficult day.
You're telling me that the Joker's Crafty doesn't have any kosher snacks?
You would think it would be a set filled with matzah, but it somehow was not.
Wow.
And honestly, every crew member could not have been nicer. And, you know, they came over to my kids. And, you know, I have three daughters. They're 10, 8, and 5. And, you know, probably should not be hearing the language, but that's a whole other conversation. And all the crew members are coming over, and every single person is coming over with a basket of snacks. And they're just like, take anything you want. And my kids are just looking at me. So I felt like the best father in the world for bringing them to the set and the worst father in the world for not letting them have any of the snacks.
Oh, man, that makes it 10 times worse when everyone's just teasing them with all of these, like, because on set we'll have usually, like, it's like a bunch of cookies, different types of cookies, a lot of Oreos. I know the mini Oreos are my favorite. And then, like, what else? Like Chips Ahoy. There's usually donuts at some point.
Mini chocolates.
Yeah.
I'm all about like the peanuts. Like, they always have like a nice bag of peanuts. I'm all about that.
You were literally taking candy from a baby, Simi, and your own babies.
Yes. No, it felt like my kids felt like kids in a candy store if all that candy was behind protective glass.
Are your kids like famous in their schools? Like, because like they're Can't Stand Your Bitses?
I'm going to go with no, but they do. I mean, the thing is, my kids they're all very, they run, I would say, more on the shy side, just in terms of, you know, they're not the kids who want to go around and flaunt that their dad produces a show that some of the kids in the school might like. They would rather keep that under wraps. So
cool.
I don't think they talk about it so much, but they are fans of the show. They have definitely taken to the show and love it.
That's awesome. Do they have a favorite Joker?
They kind of rotate. I mean, I think that my oldest, Julia, has always loved Joe. And I think my middle one had a Team Q shirt for a while. And, nice. And that really, she took a liking to Q. But they really do, I think they really love all of them in different ways, like we all do.
At this age, you know, you're just so many different emotions, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And
every day it's a new favorite joke.
Yeah.
Do they have any notes?
Well, I don't. The question is, do I have any notes? Because I just send the cuts to my daughters. They just sort of let me know what they do and don't want on the air, and I've put them directly in touch with the Jokers at this point, just to cut out the middleman.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we heard Julia was like, "No more exposed camera." She's like, "These bits. When the Mark knows they're on camera, they just don't react the same." I got that note from her directly.
Susie, my 5-year-old, thinks that's all getting a little derivative.
Simi, I remember you showing me a project that they had a homework that they had to fill out for school. And one of your daughters had written, it was something about what the world should have more of. And she wrote more hidden cameras. And I guess you talk about work at home.
Wow.
It was this crazy moment where we had parent teachers conferences for my middle daughter, Ella, who was in first grade. She's not going into third grade. She was in first grade. And the teachers, you know, parent teachers conferences, you know, they show you some of the work that the kids are doing. And they slid this piece of paper across the table that had, you know, something that the kids filled out. It was like, you know, when I grow up, I want to do this. And this is my, you know, this is whatever it was, just a bunch of different short answers. And one of the questions, like Tina just said, was, the world could use more, dot, dot, dot. And they said, we're just curious why your daughter wrote this. And it said, hidden cameras on telephone poles.
Okay, this is, wow. This is amazing.
So great.
If they, I'm assuming they don't know exactly what you do or that you produce Jokerist. So they think that you're just obsessed with like putting cameras everywhere. Is that the case?
It wasn't the best look for me in that moment, especially because I beamed with pride, and I think that just confused them more.
Yeah, and also your wife is in the CIA, if I remember correct. So she's
correct. Already, so there are all sorts of issues there.
Right.
Yeah.
And she developed Elf on the Shelf, right?
Yeah.
exactly.
Which you have many in your house during Passover, I believe, is when they use the Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Elijah the on the shelf doesn't go as well.
No, yeah.
That's great.
All right, this is great. So it's interesting that you exposed documentary thing. Your note. Well, do you have some notes, James?
Yeah, I was gonna say. So originally, as we were doing Can't Stand Your Bits, I have to say, Simi, originally when this challenge was pitched to you, you said no. Do you want to hear your note for it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. So you said no. For the same reason we've said no to exposed cameras in the past. When there's a camera on the Joker and he says something odd or inappropriate, the mark will just assume it's either part of a gag or the Joker is acting weird because he's on camera. It takes all the awkwardness out of the interaction, taking the comedy down with it. Also, this relies on two levels of deception. The crew is real and the Joker is also real and giving real answers. And there are too many ways this can go south. So, Simi Can't Stand Your Bits. Do you think that this bit worked?
This is a case where I was wrong.
Oh.
I still stand by the fact that exposed camera is very tough to pull off. Mm-hmm. And for that reason exactly. Like if the Joker is standing there and the mark, the person they're talking to, sees a camera there, their guard will be up in a different way than if somebody's just approaching them at Fairway. So yep. I think that it makes it puts more onus on the creative to be really strong. But I think what was different about this one, and I think this one worked out really well, it was a great bit.
Mm-hmm.
What was different about this one was, you know, in the past, a couple times you guys have done exposed camera, it's been, you know, the Joker is standing there with a microphone interviewing somebody.
Yep.
And my concern there is, well, if you hear a weird question from somebody holding a microphone, you're like, okay, this is just some bizarre thing, and they're trying to be funny. But here, the Joker was posing as a regular person next to somebody, and it wound up working great because you had just this two shot of the Joker and the mark sitting next to them, and the mark was just sitting, you know, in each time, all four times, the mark was just sitting there looking super duper confused. So I think in this case, exposed camera worked really well, but it took a little bit of tweaking, which you guys did a great job to get it there.
Thank you so much. And then also give yourself credit because you actually did change it from the original pitch. The goal originally was a refuse you lose, and we changed it to a don't laugh goal, which I think upped the awkwardness too, because then the guys were really trying to play it super real. And again, like when they're trying to conceal a laugh, it kind of just changes the chemistry out there, as opposed to like, you know, refuse you lose it. If they just don't do it, then the challenge ends. But it, just the awkwardness of like trying to keep that laugh in, I think really helped the bit as well. So you were not really wrong. We did change it after we pitched it.
Well, credit goes to my 5-year-old on that one. That was her note.
Thank you, Susie.
That's amazing.
Excellent.
Simi, thanks so much for coming on.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure.
Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in my office in Hudson Yards. We moved offices a couple months ago, and so that's where I am right now.
Wow, just like typing up a storm, doing all the network stuff?
On a typewriter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks, Simi. You're the best.
You got it, guys. Talk to you next time.
All right. Bye, Simi.
Bye. Bye.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I can stand his bits.
When Sal is getting punched like this, you feel every moment of it. Like you're right there along with him.
Yes.
I feel like it.
What does Mer say? Mer says at one point there was those guys came in suits that were like, we've been coming here for 10 years. And he's like, this Delmonico's? And he like, but like Mer says a thing that's just like, these are men not to be
trifled with.
trifled with.
Men not to be trifled
with. That is
with.
So, like, what an accurate description. Those are men not to be trifled with.
You know what? It's so funny because watching this, when I saw those guys come in, I'm like, oh, maybe this will be like the golf punishment where, like, again, I'm at work right now. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I'm like, man, screw these suits. I'm like, maybe it'll be like golf where it's like, we're just messing with people that are like a little hoity-toity or whatever, and I'll enjoy it. It's not. Those are the only guys. Everyone else, it's like probably like couples that they said they made like reservations for like a year or something.
Yeah.
Families coming in. I hated this punishment. I mean, which is good. I mean, it was hard.
The stakes are high, and the steaks are delicious because it's Delmonico's.
Yeah.
So it's this, a lot of steaks going on. Different spellings of them.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
There was one point where Sal walked over to the coat check just to like take a break because he couldn't handle it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then walked back.
You know, it's funny. There was actually some other interactions. We had to cut some for time like we do all the time. We had some other really fun interactions. Like, I mean, we definitely showed the best ones, and sometimes they'll cut some stuff out. Like there was like a group of women waiting, and then we had a bunch of Joker's crew in dresses like come in.
Oh, right.
And then Sal had to like look at both and like allow like our group of women to like ahead of the ones that were there first.
Oh man.
That elicited in a strange look.
That is crazy. That, can you imagine that? Like any one of the things the guys do would be like, if you dared a friend from home to do this, that would be like a memorable moment. One of the hardest things they have to do in their life. We're not even showing that to our public. Yeah, like we're cutting these turns. Like we're putting the guys through hell, and then we're not even showing anybody.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I remember when we were talking about this punishment because we wanted to do something like this. And I was really obsessed with the idea of like a person saying their name and being like, you know, like, oh, McCarthy. Oh, interesting. Yeah. McCarthy. And then looking up and like kind of looking at the outfits and then being like, I'm having trouble finding it. Like it was like,
but that sir, I wore action. My shirt. And my finest shorts.
Yeah. And then it turns into the guys being like, it's not the right energy.
Yeah.
Which is just so funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good one to start with. And I love that the guys let him in because you know what? He did have the right energy. He had the perfect energy.
I mean, that was a great moment. They're like, that is the right, the ironic thing.
And you know what else is really fun, Case? The office inside jokes here where we bring in our Cole Von Cole, really. Cole Weber.
Yeah, Cole Weber and
Christian Estin.
Yeah, Christian Estin. We say look like bootleg
Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio.
And they don't look like him, but it's close enough. And which adds so much to that, like the fact that those people are, that's not them.
And the best, and this got cut as well. Sal actually says a line to the marks that were waiting. He goes, I'm sorry, but didn't they look like Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio? Like, so admitting that it wasn't them, it's like, you know, they look like them.
I also like the line when he's like, they deserve it. Like he knows that that's so insulting in this weird, it's a new version of insulting because it's like, it's insulting like the character of people he doesn't even know yet.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't deserve the table, but they do. They're famous. It's like, oh God. But they're, and then the fact that they're not too, like they're just not, it's so good.
This was a tough one. I think this might be the toughest punishment of the season.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's probably why we came back with it. I mean, the tipping one is up there. The laptop one is up there for me. But I think so far, this one, I wanted him to stop. I was like throwing in the towel early on in this punishment.
I know what you mean. Like when you really think like, could I do this? I think I would have trouble because I'm like a people pleaser. I really would hate to tell people no. And it would crush me. Like laptops, it's hard because you're like putting down someone's property. I'd feel like nervous to do it, but it's not like refusing someone's service because it instantly becomes like, what about me? Like I think that they would think, what about me doesn't deserve this table?
Yeah.
You know?
And like you planned. I respect planning. You made reservations. Like you went ahead. You did all of this work. And then you get there and somebody's like saying like, yeah, you're not good enough to come in here or whatever. It would crush me. And then I'd probably be like, you're right. And then like meagerly walk out.
When the woman's like, I think if you take reservations, you should honor those reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
we
have reservation like a month in advance. I think that if you make the reservations, you should honor those reservations.
That's when we get moments like that, when people are just so right, yeah. You know, in the face of an idiot, like, you know, like that. Has to say, you know,
it was hard.
What really killed me was when he asked if anyone was dining with Andrew Jackson that they could get seated right away.
Loved it.
Then those women like pulled together their money
It took a while for like in the cut, it's even shorter, but even in the cut, but like that in the moment, like it took a while to understand what that meant.
Yeah.
Like people are like, what is that? You know?
And she clarified it.
Yeah. She was like, you mean the dead president or whatever?
Who's on the $20 bill?
Yeah. Yes. It was like, such
and
a
good... guys, she's my mark of the episode.
Wow. She also,
I'm telling you.
Wow.
She asked, is that protocol?
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, yes.
And exactly. Everything this lady said to me was pitch perfect. And you know what? She did a little scam bone to get her seat. She got what she wanted.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she's my mark of the episode.
I'm with you, man.
What do you think?
100%.
I have a different mark.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Casey, let me be the deciding vote here.
Okay. Right. So during the marshmallow challenge, the woman that just says, stop, with no emotion. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She's just like, there's marshmallows flying around and she's just like, stop.
Stop. That's great.
Right.
That's a woman that's had enough and just like can't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. And just like, I don't know where it's coming from. Just stop.
Stop.
I do love a good like like sad stop.
Yeah.
Just a defeated stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love a scamboni even more. So I have
all
to go.
Right.
But please let us know who you think is the mark of the episode. You could hashtag Joker's podcast. And this episode is episode 810. So you could throw that in there too. Just to let us know. How fun is this? This is nice that we're back.
I love being back.
Yeah.
And real quick housekeeping, just so you know, the thumbs down count for the entire season now.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Q. Quinn still losing the most. He's got 11 thumbs down after this episode. Salvatore has 10 thumbs down. We can call him Thumbstown.
Yeah.
He's probably got the most Thumbstowns of all time.
He's definitely going to thumbs downtown.
That's right. And then James S. Murray, 6. And Joe Gatto, 6. So they're tied for the win, I guess. Is that what we'll call that so far? So yeah, but BQ is the loser.
For the win-win.
And if someone out there listening can figure out who is the loser for the entire series so far.
And so we mean the most thumbs down, not the most punishments, right? Well, is that what we're saying?
Well, we got two different ones. I don't know. Oh, so you're saying the most thumbs down for the entire series?
Oh, no, I meant punishments.
So the most punishments.
Let's do most punishments because the other thing sounds very difficult to figure out.
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
I don't want anyone to work hard.
I would throw Danny Green and Andrew Jackson to figure it out for us.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we could do that.
Let's
I know he's
it.
Busy, but
yeah.
We'll just force him to do some extra work. He's in retirement.
We'll call him up and get the answer.
Yeah, that'll take him a little bit further west on that boxcar.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be back. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you guys. This is fantastic. I'm so happy to be back. Case, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Tina, thank you.
Thank you, Tina, guys.
Thank you. We're just going to end this podcast by thanking each other. Thank you.
Thank you, fans.
Thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
thank
Tina.
You in, New Mexico.
Thank you.
Thank you in Colorado.
Thank you,
thank you, fans in Comic-Con. Thank
everybody.
You, Cruise fans.
Thanks, sports.
Thank you,
while those guys are thanking everybody, here's a sneak peek of what's coming up on next week's Impractical Jokers.
All right. Look at these two.
I'm going to get myself a plain cheesecake to start.
A what?
I'm going to get a cheesecake.
Okay.
Yeah.
This guy behind you is getting cake?
You're gonna pie?
I'm getting the cherry pie, man.
All right, great. Get this guy to check your mouth for you. Make sure it's ready for cake.
You're going to eat a cake with the cavity and everything?
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Hi, I'm just going to get a cheesecake. Yeah, look.
I don't think you should.
It looks like your mouth.
No, it don't.
Let me see your mouth. It's the same. Look at mine.
Look
at this guy.
No, dude, I would not eat until you get that checked out.
Look at this mouth, look at my mouth.
Yeah. You need work.
You need work to sell.
I need work?
You need work.
Yeah.
Come on.
You need an orthodontist.
Look,
you're perfect.
See?
All right, Joe, now check his mouth for him.
Let me see yours. Yeah, it looks great. That's a guy who knows mouths.
Guys, get all three of you to open your mouths at the same time.
Let me see yours.
What?